www.ecc.com.
Morning, everyone. Again, want to thank you for joining us at Portico Ungathered. Glad you're with us this morning. If you could, imagine yourself on a beach. And not just a beach like on a little pond or a lake around here, but maybe one of the Great Lakes or an ocean where the water can get pretty rough. So you're walking along the shore, you're looking for beautiful shells or pretty rocks that you can take with you as a keepsake. You want something to hang on to remember your time there. A number of years ago, my family and I visited South Carolina and spent a lot of time on the beaches of the Atlantic Ocean there. We spent hours, and especially the kids, spent hours looking for keepsakes. Now, they really wanted to find starfish, but no luck. Not live ones. We wouldn't have taken that home. But they wanted to find starfish, no luck. They wanted to find whole sand dollars, no luck. There either. They ended up, though, still with big bags of shells, all kinds of shells. They kind of ended up going with quantity over quality in that trip and ended up with large bags of shells and rocks and things to bring home by the end of the week. But let's say you are way pickier than that. You're looking for something really special. Right, you're looking for only the prettiest of the pretty treasures that you see on the shore. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to sort through a whole lot of the other stuff, the other shells and rocks, to find those treasures. Because the ocean's waters are really deep, and the waves are big and powerful, and it leaves a lot of material to sort through. Well, the parallel to that is, in a lot of ways, that's what we're doing as we work through John chapters 14 through 17. This is a section of scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and as he's doing that, he's giving them some important instruction. It's right before he is going to die and be raised and then ascend to heaven. So he's giving them instructions and a prayer that they can hang on to because he knew the difficult road that they were going to be facing ahead. And many of us these days are looking for something that we can hang on to in the middle of our times, right? The safer at home situation. We're all affected by it. We're all facing difficulties, whether they are physical difficulties, financial ones, emotional difficulties. There's all kinds of tension and stress about it. Everyone's got opinions about it. Some people are on board with the idea of shutting down the whole country. And others are protesting stay-at-home and safer-at-home orders, right? We've got both ends of the spectrum. And regardless of where you land in that, the fact is that none of us are going to get through this time or are getting through this time unaffected or unscathed. So my goal as we work through these chapters are to highlight a few of the things that can help carry us through these times. These are definitely a few things, there are definitely a few things we can cling to in this text, but it's going to take a little effort to find them because the words of Jesus come from deep waters, right? They hit us in powerful waves. They throw a lot at us, and we're going to need to sort through that in order to get to those treasures we're looking to hang on to. So this morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 14, the second half, starting in verse 15. We're also going to jump ahead a little bit into chapter 16. But if you want to follow along in your Bibles at home, John 14, starting in verse 15, and I'll read it through. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now that I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. We're going to stop there for now. In the first half of the chapter, last week's main idea from the first half of the chapter was pretty simple. Jesus had said to his followers, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And ask in my name, and I'll give to you what you're asking. And we sum that up with five simple words. I am all you need. I am all you need. No matter what it is you are facing, he wants you to know, I am all you need. But then the next thing in this half of the chapter, we hear Jesus saying to them, and oh, by the way, I'm going to be leaving you. He's, again, going to be crucified. He's going to be raised from the dead. Then he's going to ascend to the Father in heaven. Jesus knew he was not actually going to be with them much longer, at least not in the way he had been. So how could he possibly be all they needed he wasn't even going to be with them? Right? Well, in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He was going to give them a helper, right? The Holy Spirit. As followers of Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in him, we get new life. Until that point in time, the scriptures say that we're spiritually dead, but God makes us alive in Christ, and he puts his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, within us. And the Holy Spirit, as we heard in the kids' lesson, is one of the three people, the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Spirit has a unique role. The Holy Spirit fills us with God's presence. It helps us in our weakness. He convicts us of sin. He guides us in truth. He gives gifts to us so we can serve others. He tells us what to speak, prompts us to action, draws people to Jesus. He also produces fruit in our lives, right? Like Galatians talks about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He brings those things out of us or into us. He is also sort of a deposit, like a down payment that seals us for eternity with God, salvation, right? That's who Jesus is sending. And he says this, the world cannot accept him, meaning the Holy Spirit, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the unbelieving world can't accept the Holy Spirit, first of all, because they can't see him, right? He's invisible. He's spirit. And it's hard to believe in something that you can't actually see, right? This world, we believe in things we can see and hear and feel and taste and touch. And if it's not met by one of our senses, we're not going to buy it. It takes eyes of faith to see the Holy Spirit. And the unbelieving world doesn't see with spiritual eyes. So it can't accept the Spirit because it can't see him. It also says they will not accept the Spirit because they don't know him. Now think about this. When Jesus was alive on the earth, people had the opportunity to not only see him, but to know him, right? They could follow him, watch what he was doing, hear his voice. And yet, despite all the evidence, all the miracles he provided, all the teachings that he gave, they rejected that he was the Son of God. If they wouldn't accept Jesus, who they could see and could know, how would they ever accept an invisible spirit being who they don't know and couldn't see? Right? So they also, the world, the unbelieving world, will not accept him because they don't know him. Again, it's impossible to see and know Jesus and the Holy Spirit without eyes of faith. Jesus says to his disciples, though, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Right? The disciples and all of those who believed in Jesus, they knew Jesus. And since they knew Jesus, they also knew the Father. And they knew the Spirit too, because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were one. They were one. Jesus also says, look, the Spirit lives with them or dwells with them, right? In Jesus, the Holy Spirit was fully present with them. So in the moment that Jesus is speaking to them, the Holy Spirit was literally dwelling among them, right? Living with them in the person of Jesus. But Jesus also says that the Holy Spirit will be in you. Will be in you, meaning future tense. That God was going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon every one of them. And upon everyone who believed in Jesus as the Son of God. Now we read about how that first occurred in the book of Acts. The disciples are gathered together. The Holy Spirit came upon them like a rushing wind. And they go out and they preach about Jesus. People hear the gospel in their own language. There's what's described as tongues of fire that fell on people that believed. All these incredible signs and wonders that confirm that this actually was the message and work of God himself. Now, while we don't generally see that kind of miraculous stuff happen, not very often at least these days, the Holy Spirit is still poured out to us when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. That was what Jesus was referring to when he said that the Spirit will be, future tense, in them. Now, again, in addition to what John is telling us here, he writes about something else Jesus explains in chapter 16. We're going to take a look at that, just like three verses, but keep in mind, this is the same night, the same basic conversation, it's just in a new location. John 16, 6 through 8 says, but because I've said these things, and that's referring to the fact that he wasn't going to be with them much longer, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And it goes on from there. There's a lot more there we're not going to get to. Again, these are really deep waters that are taking place here. But the point is this. Jesus says, look, yes, I'm going to leave you. Although you're going to be sad about that, it's actually better for you to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life than to have me with you in person. Now, why would that possibly be? Well, because Jesus, the person, could only be in one place at one time, right? Even after his resurrection, he was still only ever one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit would literally dwell within each one of them, giving them exactly what was needed at any given moment. Right? So even though Jesus would only be with them a little while longer, the Holy Spirit would be with them forever. And Jesus says, that is better for you. So these are kind of the deep waters of the text. Now back to the question, how can Jesus say he's all they need and then just leave them behind? Well, even though Jesus was leaving them, he wasn't leaving them alone. He was giving them the Holy Spirit. And if they had the Spirit, they still had him. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are one. So he would still be there with them and they would never be alone. Look, the same promise is true for us. If we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we still have Jesus, no matter what. He is still there with us, and we never have to be alone. So, with all that in mind, here are some treasures on the shoreline, some of the verses, the words that Jesus spoke that I think we can cling to. Verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Right? I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you all alone. I'll come to you in a different way, but it's a better way. You are not alone. I'm still here. He says, peace, in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Right? In your inner being, I want you to have peace. Despite the difficulty, despite the calamity, despite all the stuff that's going on around you, not just my peace, but not just any peace, but my peace, a peace that passes all understanding. You can have it because I'm still here. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Right? He reminds them of what he had said at the very beginning of this teaching and this chapter, this conversation. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be stirred up and agitated. Even if things around you are difficult, your heart can be still. You can still have peace. And don't be fearful, he says. Don't be afraid of what you're facing. Remember, I'm still here. Right? So last week's idea was this, I am all you need. And there were just a few dots at the end of that statement, which I mentioned, that's to indicate, look, there's more to come. So last week was, I am all you need. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Ask me anything, I'll give it to you. I am all you need. And here's the rest of the statement. And I'm still here. I'm still here. Can I just say, by the way, this isn't the only time Jesus promises this or Scripture promises this to us? Right? He promised his disciples when he ascended to heaven, he commissioned them to go and share the good news and promise them, look, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. So even though I'm leaving, I am all you need, and I'm still here. We hear this same thing throughout Scripture. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it's Moses speaking. He says, it's the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So through Moses, God was saying, I'm all you need, and I'm still here. Right? Or what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I am all you need, and I'm still here. What about Isaiah 41:10? He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He even goes on to say, look, even if a mother were to forget her child or forsake her child, I will not abandon you. I am all you need, and I'm still here. Or what about David in Psalm 23? When he talks about the Lord is my shepherd, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Right? I am all you need, and I'm still here. Now, of course, the problem is we aren't always going to feel like this is true, even though it is, especially when things look kind of bleak around us. But Jesus is still here with you. His Spirit is living in you, dwelling in you. He's not going anywhere. In fact, there's nowhere you can go that you can escape from him. You have to trust that. You have to believe that. Or as a comedian and actor Martin Lawrence would say, believe that. Right? Now, about three of you get that reference besides my own family, but I felt like I had to work it in anyway. Right? Believe that. You have to believe that. You have to trust that. We need to trust and believe that Jesus is really all we need and that he's still here. Now, the challenge for us is to remain or abide in that reality. And very, very practically, we'll talk about what that looks like or how we can do that next week as we dive in to chapter 15. But for today, can we just cling to that promise? Can we cling to those words, I'm all you need and I'm still. We're going to pray and close with a song of worship. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus. Jesus, we are so grateful for what you have accomplished through the cross and how you poured out your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you promise you are with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we are going through, we know that you are with us, and we want to cling to that promise. It's not the easiest thing for us to do, but we do trust that you are truly all we need. And even where we're weak at clinging to that treasure, even where we're weak, God, we pray that you would strengthen it. That we would realize, that we would let that thought penetrate our hearts. You truly are all we need. And even when things get difficult, you're still there. And so as we worship, we want to offer our hearts to you, our weakness, our frailty, our fears, our doubts, our anger, our frustrations. We're going to offer all of it to you. And just ask for you, God, to meet us in that place. We know you're all we need. We know you're still with us. So meet us there. We pray in Christ's name.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.